You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
24 minutes to 9 o'clock on 95BFM Breakfast. We were discussing live music venues in Auckland and around. Well, we were discussing them in Auckland, weren't we, last week with Gareth Shute. But I'd like you to say hello to Joanna Mathis. Hi, Joe Mathis. Hi, how are you, Joe?
I'm good, thank you.
Come on in.
Hello.
Set a spell with us,
hello.
Won't you?
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to BFM.
Thank you very much. I've never been up here. It's actually, I feel like I'm in some kind of like sacred, holy space.
We've kept it the same since you first started listening.
Yeah.
Literally. Been back.
Oh, like 89, I would say.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's pretty much exactly the same.
A long time ago. Yep. Yes, been listening to you for a long time, Mikey.
Oh, hi.
Privileged to meet you.
Well, privileged to have you up here, too.
In fact, I started my live music going career at your bar.
Oh, I see.
Yes, there you go. I can remember you being a very, very lovely host there. No, it was a very cool place.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of that. And worked my ass off of that place.
Yeah, but, I can imagine. It was bloody awesome. I wish you want to reopen it. I wish you'd started again. We need another one.
Well, we do. I mean, this is the thing. We're absolutely desperate.
There's a dearth.
That's the word I was looking for, a dearth, actually.
Yes.
And I was just in my head when you said that. A friend of mine lives near where the King's Arms was.
Oh, God.
And the day that it got knocked out, that actually got knocked down.
How depressing.
She was sending me like these little videos.
It's just so awful. I was lying in bed last night actually thinking about it and thinking about just walking in there and that feeling you got of just being like, yeah, this is kind of home. I was talking to someone yesterday. They're like, why do people love it so much? It was just this real kind of shithole. You can swear on BFM, can't you?
You can.
Yeah.
So was my bar.
But yours had like glowing lights on the
room. It was a warm sort of cozy shithole.
It was. But yeah, no, it's pretty sad. Very sad.
So the what you've done is you're here to talk about your book Backstage Passes.
Yeah, which actually ends before I even started going to see live music. It's because it's only up until 1990. So yeah.
So it's the untold story of New Zealand's live music venues, 1960 to 1990. Unprecedented time for live music, though, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think the thing I didn't realise was, you know, stupidly, because the 60s was such a massive era for music, obviously, but I had this kind of ambitious plan to do live music venues from, like, you know, 1959. It's rock music, really, rock and roll, until today. But then I got so sort of, like, ensconced in the 60s and 70s that I totally ran out of time. So now it's kind of ended in the 90s, which was when people said there was a general consensus that things started getting a little bit quieter in the live music front, because like literally in the 60s and 70s there were like kind of 50-60 music venues in Auckland. You'd just like walk around every corner and there'd be a music venue.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a pretty incredible time, and not just Auckland, because it goes through the whole country, but yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on.
So why do a book about venues and not about bands or not about genres or not about eras?
Purely because of the closure of King's Arms and thinking that venues, well, there has been, obviously, there's been, New Zealand music has been documented, and I don't think anyone can write Stranded in Paradise again, like John Dix wrote the kind of Bible New Zealand music. But I was thinking about the venues themselves and how they actually, you know, they're kind of, for people like me who don't have a religion or don't particularly feel like I've got a culture either, as a kind of, you know, third generation Pākehā New Zealander, it's kind of like that is where my culture felt. It was kind of like my church. You know, you'd go there, you'd have this feeling, there was that euphoria that people apparently get in kind of religious or situations as well. And I just think it was a site of, I don't know, the magical things happening. It's where magic happened. It's where people met their partners. It's where people, you know, all sorts of other things. People were dying in them. You know, there was a whole lot of shit that went down in these places. Yeah, and it's really, they're really interesting. And the physical location is kind of important, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, it's with the benefit of hindsight, you really get a good idea of just what the social situation was.
Absolutely. I mean, the 60s was hilarious because no one was actually allowed to take, you weren't allowed to take alcohol into clubs, of course, and so everyone was smuggling them in. And there was this dude called, it's so crazy, there was this dude who was known as Happy Jack, who like had this trench coat. He was this kind of shadowy figure, and he was like in this trench coat. He would be like that, and he'd open his trench coat, and you know, miniatures, and he'd like just give them to people, and they'd put them in their glass of Coke and mix it with with their fingers. So people were taking alcohol in, but then, like, I don't know, then you get into the drugs and it was just, oh, it's crazy, crazy times. Like, Wines, this, the first, you probably, I'm sure you've heard of it, first punk nightclub in Auckland where someone shot up heroin on the floor and died on the dance floor while people were pogoing and no one noticed. Until everyone had left.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Until everyone had left and he was like, oh, this guy's still unconscious on the floor. Obviously, this is something that happens on a regular basis at this nightclub. Oh, he's dead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
It was terrible. It was terrible.
And I mean, was the things that you sort of discovered in when you put the book together, was it a common thread that makes a New Zealand venue a New Zealand venue?
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that none of the music is played on mainstream music would be a major thread throughout the whole book.
Yeah, so that's where people can go and hear music that they
don't hear otherwise. Yeah. And that's actually probably the major thing I got out of the book, is that there are so many bands from the 60s and 70s I've never heard of that are absolutely incredible, that are never played on the radio. They're never played on mainstream radio, and it's terrible because they're as good as any other band. Like, they're as good as or better than international bands, and they've been completely ignored. It's kind of sad, but yeah, I don't know. The New Zealand venue, I guess DIY, everyone was making kind of like, I don't know, making light shows out of old tin cans and sticking in like coloured, like light bulbs with kind of coloured cellophane to make, you know, really crazy light shows. And yeah, the whole DIY thing, I think, was the big thing.
Yeah, cool, hey, cool. And so, I mean, does it give you a different view on venues now? I mean, I obviously, you think we need more of them.
Yeah, no, I do. Oh, it does. It does. It actually just makes me even sadder, I guess, that people aren't making the effort to go out and support them more, you know, as much as they should be. I don't know. I mean, where do you go to see underground music in Auckland anymore? There's only Wine Cellar and Whammy Bar. I mean, is there anywhere else? Like, I don't know.
Sort of a smattering of other places,
yeah,
you know.
But it's so sad. I live out in West Auckland now, and I'm thinking, man, we need a venue out there, because I know so many musicians have moved out to West Auckland because of the bloody house prices.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We just need to support our musicians more. The musicians, the school kids that are like playing in bands, like the, you know, everyone, we just need to support them. It's an amazing thing.
It's an amazing art.
It is an amazing art.
And it's funny in New Zealand too, because we for a long time had that thing of, you know, blah, 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 you're not bad for a New Zealand band.
Yeah, totally.
You know, we've only just sort of got over that.
It
means that a lot of those people that were really successful and that were playing loads and loads of gigs back in the, between, you know, say the 60s, 70s, 80s sort of thing, who were playing like, you know, three times a week or twice,
yeah,
you know,
totally,
been touring the country over and over and over.
Yeah,
are sort of out of sight now.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
and you meet some of these people. Like, I've been lucky enough to meet some of those old campaigners, and they've got some stories.
Oh my God, they do. Well, I did the story. Oh, okay, you finish. Oh, they do. Like, my current thing is, I did a story about it actually in the Sunday Star Times on Ticket. Do you know the band Ticket? Amazing band. They were like on the verge. Like,
funny name for a band, Ticket.
Yeah. They were on the verge of like touring the world with Black Sabbath. Literally, like within days, we and their guitarist, who was kind of this guitar hero dude, decided that he was going to convert to, he became like a Hare Krishna and disbanded the band. So on the absolute verge of them touring the world with Black Sabbath, the guy was like, no, we're not doing it anymore. I don't want to do, you're too rock and roll. It's too much for me. Oh, we're leaving. You know, I'm leaving. The band's breaking up. And this band is amazing. Like, seriously, if you can find a Ticket song anywhere in your archives, you should play them, man. They're such an awesome band. And stuff like that. And, you know, you sort of find out all these like nearly made it kind of things. So, yeah, it's quite sad in many ways, but it's really good that I've actually been able to document it.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, is there one venue there that you wish you could have been at?
Yeah, Zwines. Zwines or the Gladstone, I reckon. Gladstone was obviously where, like, Roger Shepherd and, like, the Flying Nun thing all started at Gladstone and Christchurch, and, you know, the Gordons played their first gig there. And, yeah, Gladstone and Zwines would be my two choices.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so the book's out now, and it's called called Backstage Passes, the Untold Story of New Zealand's Live Music Venues from 1960 to 1990. Joe Mathis, thank you very much for coming in to see us.
Thank you. And
did you find the ticket song, Tess?
Yeah, I just need to actually tell you something quickly about this ticket song first. It's actually, they didn't know how it got on it, but it's actually on this really cool surf movie called The Dawn of the Earth. It's one of the most popular cult surf movies of all time. And they somehow made their way, made its way onto this soundtrack. They have no idea how, and it's been played like hundreds of thousands of times all over the world. So Ticket have this weird underground following. Like in Sweden, they printed all these records of theirs and sold them in this coffee shop for, I don't know, a lot of money, on the strength of the fact that all these people in Sweden loved the surf movie and no Ticket.
Was it Morning of the Earth?
Yeah, Morning of the Earth. Yeah. So that's quite a famous movie. And this song's been listened to 70,000... No, these two songs on this album have been listened to 70,000 times on Spotify. Mm. And so, I mean, that's not a huge amount on Spotify, but, you know, it's probably more than they'll listen to in New Zealand. So, yeah. My friend,
thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Lovely to meet you.
Have a great Christmas and good luck with the book.
Thank you. Cheers.
Originally from 1972, this song.
But what will happen after if the House defeats the bill? There are a couple. We'll be right back.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.